I'm good. I can hear you. Hello? Hello? Yeah, buddy. Able to you. No, no problem. Glad to be here. Well, my new horror film's coming out on October 8th through some select theaters, and then October 15th on the streaming services through Indican Pictures. So I'm excited about that. I got a big Grand Pennsylvania premiere at the Angela Theater on October 27th, which is in Coaldale, Pennsylvania, my hometown theater. So we're busy planning that. Excuse me, getting that all set up. So that's rather exciting. And got the military surplus business that is in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. It's called Priority One Surplus. Check me out there, PriorityOneSurplus.com. And just appearances and comic cons and all that kind of stuff. Just did the Harrisburg Comic and Pop Con last weekend. Andrew Amelius and the crew, always top notch. Had a blast at that. Me and the wife, my lovely wife Carolyn. We had a great time there. So that's pretty much up to speed for the moment. No, I still wrestle. I just pick my spots, man. I don't need to do it anymore, so I do it every once in a while just to keep my face out there with the wrestling, but semi-retired. Well, from what I was told, it was supposed to be that one event there where I caused the miscarriage. And then they were going to keep me off TV for a little bit and then come back and do something with Glenn. But it had such a great reaction that they actually decided to run with it. So it was kind of cool because the first week, like, I never even really knew what I was doing until, like, probably 5 o'clock the day of the show. So it was interesting. I just kind of hung out all day and sat in catering and waited for somebody to come get me. So, yeah, nice. It was interesting.
That is pretty interesting. That is really interesting. And you were doing some things before you got to WWE, right? You were doing some indie work. Oh, my audio's on now.
Yeah,
okay, fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah, I actually trained with the Wild Samoans in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So, that's where I trained at. Still, obviously keep in touch with all the guys. Lloyd, I was in Lloyd's wedding. Sam just had his liver transplant. Love you, Sam. Hope you're doing well out there, my man.
Absolutely.
And Alpha Jr. and Lance and Pops and Moms and all the crew. Rikishi and Black Pearl out in L.A., very tight with everybody. So, I started there and got my experience with the WXW off of his federation. Working my way up, became the champ there. Then Pops got me a dark match with WWE in Wilkes-Barre the end of October of 2003, I believe it was, and performed well enough to get an invite down to Louisville to start training with WWE and sign my contract, and off I went.
Nice. Now, who made the decision, as we get people asking you questions here, who made the decision to say, okay, so let's keep going with this thing as far as the Kane and Lita pregnancy angle as far as your addition to it?
Honestly, I don't really know who made the call on that. All I remember was I was down at OVW. We were doing drills in the ring, and Tommy Dreamer was there at the time and doing some drills, and I heard Tommy yelling, to come down to talk to him. I went down. He's like, oh, you need to go get your stuff and get on an airplane to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Or somewhere in Arizona. But I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I thought he was ribbing me. He said, so I had to get back in the ring. He said, no, seriously, you got to get going. Vince just called. You got to move. I'm like, oh okay. So I pulled my best O.J. Simpson imitation and ran through the airport like a lunatic. I was soaked through my clothes. Made it to the flight with like the door closing and me begging to get on, and ended up flying down to Dallas, and then wasn't going to make it in time to get to Raw because somebody effed up the travel arrangements and nobody ever called me or booked me or any of that kind of stuff for the next week. So they flew the corporate jet to Dallas to meet me, and on the private jet I went and flew down to Arizona, and the rest, so to speak, is history.
Nice. Now, it wasn't my fault catchphrase. Was that something you were told to say? Or was it just a promo at the time that just caught fire?
Just came off the tip of my tongue and kind of grew a mind of its own, and away it went.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't really put any thought into it. I've just always used that my whole life when or something. It wasn't my fault. So, just kind of came out. It's funny.
Now, who?
But I hear it every day of my life now. So,
that's what you're all about. I mean, that's when it's Snitsky, it's about it wasn't my fault. It's like that's the correlation. So that's really interesting. But the thing is, it's sometimes people don't like getting pigeonholed like that, but at the same time, man, when you find something, you find something, because not a lot of people get, opportunities like that, coming right into the main roster feuding against Kane. You know what I mean? That's a big deal. So who was it that, like, the as far as when you said it wasn't my fault, was it Vince, saying, keep that going? Or was it like an agent saying, keep it going? Or how was it that to make it continue?
From what I vaguely remember, I think it was Stephanie. She had I was working pretty much one-on-one with her, and she was doing all my pre-tapes and all my vignette type stuff, and just was one of the scripts I got for the segment referred to, the it's not my fault thing. And then, like, I started doing the house shows. I would cut a promo before my match, and, the whole, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
And then just kind of took off from there. So
now it was kind of weird because Kane was a big heel at the time, and you went against them. You know, like you said, it was supposed to be kind of like a one deal, one, you know, one stop deal, but it eventually got to the point where you became the heel real quickly, and Kane was still feuding with Matt Hardy. It was just kind of a weird conundrum. Now, what was it? I mean, who made the decision as far as just like keeping you heel? Was there any type of thought process to come with it? Because I know that you were just supposed to do that one thing. How did the, from a backstage perspective, how did it just kind of formulate? Because Kane was still a heel at that time, and it was just kind of like a weird conundrum.
I know Dan Madigan was writing the storylines at the time for me anyway.
Okay.
And I just kind of showed up at Raw and got my deal and did what I had to do. I mean, I didn't really like investigate who came up with it or whose idea it was or any of that kind of stuff. You got to realize, man, I've been toiling in the indies for like 5 years, and I got a call up at WWE on the main roster.
You're not caring about that stuff.
You don't give a crap about anything other than getting paid and being on national TV.
That's right.
So they gave me my spot. I did what I had to do, and, you know, I just took it week by week and did what was asked of me and apparently did it pretty good because everybody's still talking about it 15 years later. So
yeah.
I guess it went pretty well.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, for being in the indies and getting that call and running down and everything, and you're right. You know, I just love this to see or to know like who was behind, you know, stuff like that, as far as just because at the end of the day, like you said, and like you've made, like you mentioned, it was supposed to be just a one stop deal, and for it to just kind of go and just kind of, you know, kind of have its own life, and it was really interesting. All right, so let's get to some questions. Everything's loaded up here. The audio's good for both of us here, and everything's set. All right. Cool. Mo is asking, was anything ever your fault? So the hashtag is Ask Snitsky. So
I think we all know the question. I think we all know the answer to that question.
Right. No, it wasn't.
Like I said previously, it works for everything. I've been using it since I'm a kid. So
yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. So another question. What do you think of Lars, and do you see yourself similar to Lars Sullivan?
Actually, I thought he was pretty good. I enjoyed his stuff. I mean, he's the only, well, besides Braun Strowman and now, you know, Bray Wyatt, the only real characters. Like, they're all so cookie cutter now. Everybody looks like everybody, and they all look like a bunch of underwear models. But I don't know. It's just the kind of way I look at it.
Yeah. Underwear models is a very, very good way to put it. Man, is that you think that's one of the biggest issues with current pro wrestling, is the lack of characters?
Well, honestly, I don't really follow it that close. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know like the current happenings or the ins and outs of it. But what drew me to wrestling as a kid was the larger-than-life characters and the sensationalism and the promos and just the over-the-top characters.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's be honest, there's none of that in any of wrestling today. I mean, it's actually boring. Most of it's boring. Like, if I do watch it, I fast forward through most of it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's just not my thing. I like characters. I like, you know, the larger than life guys. And I'm not saying it because I'm a bigger guy, but as a 10-year-old kid, I'm flipping through the channels and you see Hulk Hogan cutting a promo and you're like, wow, what's this all about?
Right.
Honestly, there's nobody, if I was flipping through the channels these days, that I would stop and go, wow, what's this all about? I would just keep pressing the forward button on the TV remote, to be honest with you.
What do you so you do like The Fiend? You do like Bray Wyatt's character? His new one?
Yeah. I liked his old character too. I mean, it's great. It's it's to me what wrestling's all about, you know, creating that suspended animation of reality and, you know, scaring the kids and, you know, getting people to yell at you and boo you and dislike you. I mean, that's the magic of wrestling. And unfortunately today, with all the tweeners and the, you know, characters that don't know if they're good or bad, it's hard to really, like, get behind a bad guy or a good guy or ride the storyline, because the storylines change so often.
Yes.
So there's no vested, you know, interest in any of the characters. And that's what wrestling's all about, creating the sympathy for the good guy, creating the heat for the bad guy. I mean, it's a lost art, dude. I mean, it's sad, but it's like, anymore, it's just not like that.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It is, I've been a lifer, and I get paid to write and talk about wrestling, which is a blessing. But it's, I agree, man. I'm an old school. It's just like, it's funny. I got a comment said, Chris been saying that for weeks just before I even said it. So yes, amen to that. I've been saying that for years, actually, cause, I've been a wrestling fan since the mid 80s, and, characters for me, I'm old school, man. So, yeah. I feel you on that for sure.
I'm the same way, dude. I started watching it in 1980 when I was 10 years old, and, like I said, man, you're flipping through the channels and you're like, wow, what's this all about? Yeah. You know, now, like I said, I just flip through the channels and go right past it.
Yeah, it's a difficult industry to bring in new fans. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of like a niche market. Like I couldn't bring in like a few of my good friends and say, hey, why don't you just start watching wrestling now? Let's come down to my man cave and watch an episode of Raw and let me know what you think. You know what I mean? It's hard to just really bring in new fans, riveting storylines and things like that. That's what, you know, you're a little older than I am. And I remember growing up in the 80s, it's like, that's what got me. And you said the same thing as far as, you know, you been watching wrestling since 1980, and we're 80s wrestling fans. And so that's what drew us. And it's like, it's kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's still the storylines, it's still the characters. You know, it's hard for millennials to watch wrestling for wrestling's sake. Now it's just about a bunch of moves and, you know, a bunch of flips and everybody, you know, chanting holy crap and this is awesome in a match that's only, you know, 5 minutes long, and you know what I mean? It's just like,
see, the whole thing, what people get lost in the shuffle about wrestling is it's basically a Hollywood movie in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You get the good guy versus the bad guy.
Yeah.
Simplest formula in the history of the world.
Yep.
And from there, the bad guy gets his heat, the good guy makes his comeback, everybody cheers for him to win. I mean, it's the easiest, simplest formula.
Yeah.
And nobody follows it anymore. It's all come out, do 75 flips, 25 shoulder tackles, 17 suplexes off the top rope, and the guy gets up right after it and doesn't tell it. It's like, really?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
So true. Yeah, I always call it a comic book come to life is what wrestling should be. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, when people ask me, like, oh, you know, how would you describe it? I always say, it's an athletic soap opera. I'm a stuntman, an actor, and a professional athlete, all wrapped up into one.
100%. Absolutely. I've said that to a soap opera. Yep. All right, so we've got a couple more questions for you so I can respect your time. Lex is asking, was there anything you would have infused in your run with WWE if given the chance to influence your character?
Well, that's pretty much why I left WWE. I was constantly going to the writers with ideas, constantly kicking ideas past them, constantly, hey, let's try this, hey, let's do this, let's do that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, let's be honest, dude. If you've seen my pictures or anything on my social media, I'm a walking character. If you can't find something for me on that show, shouldn't be a writer.
That's a good
You should
point.
Find a new hobby or a new job or something, because you ain't cutting it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I agree with that. I mean, and you're just your presence alone, you know, is you got to find something in that for sure. Not some yellow tooth, you know, character. What was, you know, the ECW stint that you had? Who came up with that idea? You know?
Yeah, it was Vince's idea.
Yeah.
So he came up to me one day and he just said, "Hey, cut your hair off and go to the makeup lady and see about getting something to make your teeth look dirty." I was like, what? But, you know, I got another action figure out of it, so I ain't gonna complain. But
yeah, that's
true. I didn't care for the character. I didn't care for having to paint my teeth every week.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a lot that went into that that people don't realize.
Yeah.
And, you know, my characters get knocked a lot, but that's all right because nobody knows, like, they tell you what to do. They tell you how to do it. They tell you where to do it. It's not like I had 100% creative control over my character. Anybody that knows me personally knows I'm a walking character. I could be funny. I could be serious. I could be scary. I mean, I could do it all pretty much. But when you're kind of told what to do every day at work, you just kind of want to do what you have to do and make everybody happy and get your paycheck. So
that's true.
This is how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate because, like you said, you are a walking character, and it would have been easy to make some money from you. Is there anybody that you wanted to feud with other than Kane while you were there? Were there any feuds?
Well, they kind of started doing a tag team thing with me and Heidenreich against Kane and Undertaker, but yeah, that just kind of fizzled. I don't know why. Don't really have an idea of what happened there, but they were teasing it for a while because we did that thing where I ran out in the pay-per-view and then we were doing tag team matches on all the house shows and all that stuff. But I don't know. Don't know what happened with that. I guess they just decided to go a different route. I mean, you know how it is. They start a character off and then 6 weeks into it, oh, we're going to take a different approach. And then you're like just standing there, you know, with your, you know what, in your hand thinking, you know, what just happened?
Yeah, very sad.
I mean, I have nothing. I mean, I can't say anything negative about WWE. They gave me a great opportunity. They gave me the ball, and I ran with it. You know, this is what it is. I'm a performer. I'm a professional athlete. I played pro football before I got to WWE.
Yeah.
I just got inducted into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame last year.
Congratulations.
I just co-produced. Thanks. I just co-produced a horror movie, starred in it, did all the stunt coordinating, the fight scenes. And, I mean, we've won several awards. So whoever's out there listening, check out 100 Acres of Hell. It's the best throwback slasher horror movie on a low budget that you're ever going to see.
Nice.
We just got picked up by Indican Pictures, like I said, and comes out October 8th, and then on the streaming services on the 15th. And if anybody's in Northeast PA, we have our big world premiere, Pennsylvania premiere at the Angela Theater in Coaldale, Pennsylvania. On October 27th, first showing at 4 p.m., second showing at 7. It's only $8. Stop by, check out the film. You'll be glad you did. I guarantee you'll like it. And if you don't, it's not my fault.
Nice. I knew that was coming. Awesome, man. Where can we find you on social media?
My Twitter is Big Gene Snitsky, and my Instagram is The Real Snitsky. And check me out there. You could also, like I said about the film, 100acresofhell.com also has a Twitter and an Instagram. I think it has a Facebook page too, so hit us up on there. And check out the Angela Theater, theangelatheater.com. It's theater with T-H-E-A-T-R-E, theangelatheater.com. Also, I'm sponsored by a supplement company called Vitargo. Best sports supplement money can buy. Check them out, Vitargo.com. It's amazing. Keeps me going, man. I'm 49. I'll be 50 in January. I'm in the best shape of my life. Lean, mean. Just benched 400 like nothing.
Nice.
Stronger now than I ever was. So check nice. Them. Check those guys out. Also partnered with Schuylkill Valley Sports up here in Pennsylvania. I do a lot of promotion for those guys. One of the best sporting goods shops around. Check those guys out as well. SVSSports.com. Got the surplus shop going. PriorityOneSurplus.com. Check me out there as well. Got a nice little business going. Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Anybody's in the area, feel free to stop by. I'm pretty much at the shop every single day. But, yeah, pretty excited about the film coming out. And you know, it's been a 9-plus-year process, so we're on the home stretch now. I'm pretty excited about it. So I'm getting ready for all the craziness of that. We're getting a lot of, you know, all really good reviews. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of good publicity, feedback going, so check that out. We have a lot of stuff happening with that right now, so I'm excited, excited, excited. But, yeah, so a lot of stuff going on. It's all good. I like it. I'm Busier than ever. Well, busy as I want to be, put it that way.
Man, so with your physique, man, any chance that you'll be back at WWE or AEW, anything with your rock solid physique?
I mean, as they say in the wrestling business, never say never. True. I mean, if there's enough zeros behind the first number, I'd definitely consider it. But it's got to be pretty lucrative for me to consider leaving what I'm doing now. Because, like I said, I got the shop, I got, you know, the appearances, the Comic Cons. I'm starting to get into the film producing side of things now.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. It'd be tough to walk away from it.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, wrestling is wrestling. Never say never. I mean, I'm in better shape than 90% of those guys, and I could definitely still go. So
nice.
They know where to find me if they're looking for me. I'm not hiding anywhere.
Well, it's kind of hard for you, someone your stature, to hide anyway. So you're a big guy.
So. It's the ruggedly handsome beard. The beard just kind of precedes me.
Yes.
Get it.
Indeed. Gene, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
No worries, buddy. Thanks for having me. Like I said, check out the film, 100acresofhell.com. Really, 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 really excited about that. We won the Best Horror Feature Film Award at the Philadelphia Film Festival. That's probably the biggest one we've won so far, but I think we won like 10 awards altogether. So check that out October 15th when it comes out on streaming services, if it's not in your area on October 8th. But if it is something you'd like to see, get a hold of Indican Pictures. Hit them up on social media and tell me you want to see 100 Acres of Hell, that you're a big Snitsky fan, and you want the movie, because they'll make it happen.
Nice.
And hit me up on social media, man. I always love to talk to my fans. I'm not one of those kind of guys that forgot where he came from. So very active in the local community and love being from Pennsylvania and grew up in the coal region. And, you know, played at Panther Valley High School and at Missouri and then for the Chargers for a little bit. And I like the area. I like the hardworking nature of the people. And, you know, just a cool place to grow up, and you know, super excited that I got the opportunity to do things I did, because I grew up in a town with one stoplight and nobody would ever listen to me when I would tell them they'd see me in the NFL or on WWE Monday Night Raw, but they were the same people coming to me for autographs afterwards.
Ooh,
so
nice.
It was kind of cool.
Nice. I love
yeah.
it. Awesome. Yeah. What part of Pennsylvania do you live at?
I live in Orwigsburg right now, but I grew up in Nesquehoning. It's right outside of Jim Thorpe. Southern tip of the Poconos, coal region. Used to go dirt bike ride on all the old coal mining roads and stuff. So it was a cool place to grow up, man. Had a lot of good memories. Have a lot of friends still live there and get together. And one of my buddies lives on a lake over at Lake Hotto. So get over to his place every once in a while. And my wife's super awesome. My wife, Carolyn, she's my workout partner. I got a gym in my basement, so her and I crank it out every day. And just enjoying life, man. Worked my ass off to get where I'm at and still working my ass off, but loving every minute of it. And, you know, just excited about the future with the film. And like I said, man, just really looking forward to the Pennsylvania premiere and everybody getting to see it and checking out all our hard work. Like I said, it's like almost 10 years in the making. So pretty pumped about that. Finally get it out there.
We live state away. I live in Ohio, so
nice.
Yeah, so I was asking what city that you live
I'm
in.
I'm closest to Allentown, kind of like between Allentown and Reading.
Yeah, it's you know, it says that it's a 6-hour and 44-minute drive, so yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah, it's all. But actually, one of my buddy's sons played at Ohio State. You might have heard of him, Ezekiel Elliott.
Of course.
His dad was a college roommate of mine. We played at Missouri together. It's funny.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
But I can't cheer for him because I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I can't cheer for the Cowboys.
Because he plays for the Cowboys. Well, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I was coached at Missouri by Andy Reid. Andy was my college football coach. So,
nice.
Being that I'm a diehard Eagles fan, I used to go down to Philly every year and see him and hang out for camp and stuff. But I still go down. I'm buddies with the security, head of security for the Eagles, Don DeSandro. So I go down and hang out with those guys and Still kick it a little bit. Vinny Curry's a buddy of mine. We did a celebrity golf tournament together, so we hung out because he's a big wrestling fan. So we hit it
Nice.
off. And Jordan Bilotta's from Australia. Australia, I think. He's from over there somewhere, but he's another dude I met that was super cool in the wrestling and stuff. So
Nice,
gotta love the
nice.
Eagles, man. Got to see them win their first Super Bowl up in Minneapolis, so I was pretty pumped about that as well. I was there for
Yeah.
that game, so.
Nice. Well, I'm a Titans fan, so we won't be doing anything anytime soon, it looks like, unfortunately. So just
Well, my wife's a huge Steelers fan, so I took her out to see the Steelers Chiefs preseason game and
okay.
got to see some of the guys, so that was pretty fun. That was a good
Nice.
time.
Yeah. Well, Gene, it's been a pleasure, man. Hopefully I'll send you a message and or a text, and maybe I can get some type of media. Maybe they can send me like a link so I can check it out, for media pass to check out that movie. So
Yeah, definitely.
yeah. Cool, Gene. Big Gene Snitsky on Twitter. Go follow him. Go check out the movie. And it's been a pleasure. Thanks for taking your time to chat with us tonight.
No worries, buddy. Thanks for having me on. And thanks to all the fans out there that listened and that are Snitsky fans, because without you guys, there'd be no Snitsky or any 100 Acres of Hell or any of that kind of stuff. So I just want to thank you guys for the support over the years, and let's keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night.
No worries. Good night.
Bye. Snitsky. All right, man. Glad that panned out to be pretty good. He was very patient with that. I don't know what in the world happened there. I think there were some issues with Blog Talk, and it kicked out my system, and it was all types of craziness going on, but I'm glad that you guys can hear me well, and I'm glad that you can hear that you were able to hear him, and we're all set. All right, so we got some trivia. I'm gonna write this here. Take a note here. All right, so we got some trivia, and the flavor of the week this week is going to be pretty interesting, actually. I thought about something. It was actually percentages. So I'm writing. So there's some questions that I wrote that I wanted to discuss, and I wanted to actually have your percentage of the probability of the question or the statement happening. So it's going to be pretty fun. So, in honor of Hell in a Cell, got some Hell in a Cell questions for you all. It's been the past couple the past couple hours have been quite busy, very, very action packed. Yeah, we got it together, and gonna make it work. So, all right, how y'all feeling tonight? How's everything? How's everybody? Yeah, how's everything? How's everybody? And let me know how everything's going with everybody. So, most good. I see a lot of people on the stream right now. But Mo is the all-star right now, man. He's the one that's doing the most interaction here. All right, so sports huddle, all good. Good stuff. All right, so let's jump into this. Let's jump into it here. Trying to get caught up on Impact right now. Okay, that's awesome, Gabriel. Yeah, that's the Tuesdays. Man, it's gonna be all types of like Monday's Raw, Tuesday's Impact, Wednesday's AEW and NXT. Thursday is NXT UK. Friday is SmackDown. Saturday is ROH, and Sunday is ROH. It depends on where you live, and of course Sunday is the pay-per-views as well. So, very, very interesting week of wrestling. All right, so let's jump into the headlines. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, now I feel much more settled than I did before. The only thing is, Since I hopped out of Blog Talk Radio, I need to find my my playlist for the headlines. So I gotta find that. I gotta find where that went. The playlist for the headlines. I think I found it. Let's see what this is. Headlines, here we go. Maybe. Yes, I got it. Found it. I got it. That's it. You're right. Exactly. That's it. Sorry to turn it left, but somber moment here. So Rick Bochner, also known as Big Titan, did some Japan work. Was pretty popular in Japan. Of course, we know him as the fake Razor Ramon. I actually first heard it from my buddy Rod Price, former GWF star. He said that he died of a heart attack. So it wasn't the media stuff that I've seen didn't confirm it. As far as heart attack, but that's what Rod said. I think the Cauliflower Alley Club is one of the first people who publicized it. 49 years old. That's young. Speaking of 40, I mean, that's how old Snitsky is. So, wow, that was sad. That's really sad to find out just someone that young, 49 years old, to have a heart attack. And the pictures that I've seen of him, I mean, he looked pretty, you know, he looked good as far as now. You know, I think he was, after wrestling, he ended up, I think he ended up being like a speaker or something like that. And doing well, you know, as far as career wise. But yeah, just got a really short end of the stick as far as Vince didn't want him to call him anymore. And, Vince thought, it was more of the characters than the people, which is the reason why he brought in, Glenn Jacobs and Rick Bochner. To fulfill the characters, and found out that that was not the case, then dropped the characters. Thankfully, Glenn Jacobs ended up being a, you know, soon to be Hall of Famer with Kane, but unfortunately, Bochner never panned out as far as, I mean, of course, it's not his fault either. I mean, it was really DOA as far as just where they were, you know, where they put him. He was a fake Razor Ramon. I mean, that, how in the world do you think that was going to be successful? So, thankfully he went back to Japan, and was able to rebound, his character and, you know, just left the pro wrestling business. Let me see his last match. His last match was, Let's see. His last match. His last match was 2000. Wow, it's been that long. So he competed at Stampede in Canada in 2000, and he just left the business. Japan in 99. You know, he was with the NWO Japan, after he left WWE as Big Titan. So he was in Japan for a while, and you know, with the NWO Japan faction. So yeah, 2000 looks like that is he just left the business, and so it's been almost 20 years. So. Well, that's good. You know, that's good. The fact that he didn't need the wrestling business and just do some random, indie shows to try to make ends meet and develop a career after, you know, after wrestling. So that's good. You know, I'm glad that he was able to do that. So that's some very good a plus. So unfortunate, very, very unfortunate. I'm definitely prayers go out to his family and friends, his loved ones. It's a really, really tough time. Very, very, very tough time that he's able to, you know, that they're trying to navigate through now. So very, very tough to experience and go through as his family and friends. And so my hope, my wish is that, you know, they have someone to console them through this time. And they'll be able to recover as quickly as possible from such a tragic loss. And again, a very young, 49 is a young age. I'm not familiar with his health issues or if there's any, or if it was abrupt, or if there was some, you know, some symptoms going along. I'm not sure of any of that. But you know, just, you know, take care of your health. That's a lesson that we can learn from that. Although a lot of people who die from heart attacks, they work out a lot, and a lot of people who die from heart attacks, like the Rick Rudes and Eddie Guerrero's and things like that. Road Warrior Animal, Road Warrior Hawk. I think he has some heart issues too. They work out, but a lot of them, from what I've seen, they have a history of like drug and alcohol abuse, and it really, you know, makes up. It really like gets to them eventually. I'm not sure if that was Rick Titan's story. I'm not sure at all, actually. I don't know anything about his health as far as his history standpoint. I'm not sure, but I don't know. It's a really, really sad thing to be able to go through this with his family and friends, and of course fans of the wrestling business. And again, prayers go out to family and friends. So Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar. So apparently there was this Mysterio thing is reportedly being set up to possibly bring Cain Velasquez in with to feud with Brock Lesnar. Now, Cain Velasquez has been doing some work, I believe, in AAA. I believe it was AAA that he started doing some competing and started training for. So he's been training for a while. He was featured on, I think WWE did a feature on him for a second, saying that he came in and did like some guest training or something like that. And I think he started competing for AAA, if I'm not mistaken. So, or was about to complete for AAA. I don't remember exactly federation or promotion he started competing for. So he's currently signed with Lucha Libre AAA Worldwide. So yeah, he competed for AAA. Made his pro wrestling debut. Looks like August of this year. All right, so let's actually play this Booker T video of him. It's from Reality of Wrestling, so let me pull this up and see if we can make this happen. We can make this happen, dog. Let's see. Let me pull this and play this up for y'all. All right, here we go, dog. Actually, that's the wrong. Here we go. Oh.
saying it right now. I'm going on record. I'm saying it right now. Cain Velasquez is going to be a much bigger wrestling superstar than he ever was an MMA star. Trust me, I watched him go out there and do his thing in AAA, and I must say he did a really, really good job for a first time, a debut, for a guy having a debut match. It might have been the best debut match I ever saw a guy ever have. And that's coming from a five-time champ.
Okay. Well, there you go, dog. Put the wrong podcast background on there. Oh, man, it's been all types of fun today. Yeah, so Booker T's, Booker T put him over, man. A lot, real big. Saying that was his big deal, big time. See if I can bring this one too. So he's in a mask. I wonder if there's a. Okay, so it was Cody Rhodes, Cain Velasquez, and Psycho Clown against Los Mercenarios and Killer Cross. So he had an interview with ESPN MMA 3 weeks ago of how he became a luchador. That's really cool, man. Behind the scenes with Cain Velasquez at the Lucha Libre event. Really, really cool. UFC Espanol. Let's see. Let's play this one. I don't think it's UFC Espanol. So maybe I can generate it to. Okay. Follows Reality Wrestling YouTube channel, but haven't watched the video yet. Yeah, I watched a lot of his videos, Gabriel. A lot of his Reality of Wrestling videos are actually really cool. Yeah, I'll play this. He actually put on his mask and everything, so I'll play this one too.
Estoy impactada, la verdad es la primera vez que vengo a un evento así, pues ver a Cain aquí es algo increíble, nunca me imaginé conocerlo así tan cerca. Yo creo que sí va a ganar, yo creo que sí va a ganar. ¿Tu bandera, Cain?
No, pues con el apoyo de la gente y también de la triple A.
Bueno, y ahí está. Gráficos, que se vean los dos torres. ¡Ahí está la patada!
¿Y una patada? ¡Por poco lo traspasa!
Primer contacto que da Cain Velasquez.
¡Giro!
¡Las cuerdas!
¡Oye!
¡Sorteo!
¡Ese es un campeón de UFC!
Demostrando lo que tiene, ya lo decía. Fue luchador por American America.
¡Ok!
¡Nice! ¡Hemos visto a Cain Velasquez con unas pinzas invertidas!
¡Y el público se levantó! ¡Y además se le engancha el brazo! ¡Con ese impulso que le han dejado al Tejano Junior!
Not too bad at all. Let's watch the last part here when he goes and celebrates the fans. Yeah, let's see. Nice. That's actually pretty cool, man. All right. So, Cain Velasquez, man, is he ready for Brock Lesnar? And it seems like from what he saw, I mean, of course, you know, this is his first match. Wasn't too bad for a first match, man. Actually, pretty happy about that, man. Congratulations to that. So, we'll see. We'll see where it leads. You know, we'll see where it leads. It could lead somewhere. You know, he beat Brock Lesnar in real life, as you see right there in the picture. He beat him in UFC, so he can fight, obviously. And So yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, if you sign with WWE, there I highly doubt that Brock Lesnar is going to put him over UFC too. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to put him over in WWE either, since he beat him in real life and you know, shoot fight in UFC. But you know, anything for a buck, I guess, right? So so the report is that the Mysterio beat up was to, you know, draw some more heat to set him up for potentially Cain Velasquez. Now he's signed with Lucha Libre AAA, and if this is indeed the case, obviously there hasn't been any type of signing, you know, of him yet. It seems like they may do a holdover feud with Rey Mysterio with Brock Lesnar. So that could be, I mean, that could be good, you know. So that could be good, which I think, you know, Rey Mysterio is a legendary enough name to be able to say, okay, you know, well, let's do him versus Brock right now. And then, you know, turn it over to Cain Velasquez, you know, maybe like a Royal Rumble type thing. So, or maybe it's, because I can see Survivor Series, maybe Ray. That's, a month and a half from now? So, yeah, I can see that. Survivor Series, Ray, and then Royal Rumble, Cain Velasquez, if they sign him at that time. So, that would be cool. All right, next we have War Games. So Cody Rhodes wants to buy War Games, and he has Battle Bowl already. He has Bunkhouse Stampede. He has those trademarks, and so he's interested in getting the War Games from WWE. Now I don't know if WWE. I mean, they're using that with the Takeover series, so I doubt that WWE will allow Cody, you know, to sell that to Cody to actually make his competition look better, you know, as far as AEW. I think it would be cool though, because I don't, you know, he was talking about how he wants to kind of get it back to, because, you know, the War Games was Dusty Rhodes' idea, his dad's. And so the thing is with Cody is he said that he wants to bring it back because he thinks that he will be able to really, you know, revive War Games like it used to be. Now we saw with the War Games with NXT, they don't have the top on the they don't have the top on there, so it's not the like old school style War Games match. So maybe because they already have Hell in a Cell, they didn't want to do the War Games type of thing. But I think, but I agree though. If you're going to bring back War Games, bring back War Games. Like bring back the traditional War Games type of structure, format, everything. So you want that feeling back. Mo said it's supposed to be three cages. Yeah, yeah. Well. Sometimes, you know, even if it's two cages, though, I mean, you know, two cages was what we usually saw, and they would have the ring in between it with the two cages with the lids. And so let me actually bring up a War Games picture. Let me bring up a War Games, like an old school NWA one. Let me try to find it. Here it is right here. See, this is right here. It's old school right here. This is old school. We'll bring this up here. Yeah, we'll bring up that old school one. Let's see. All right, here we go. That's the old school one right there. Old School War Games. Let me enlarge this. Let me zoom. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's the old school one right there. All right. Old school right here. That's what the War Games match looks like right there. With the two cages. There were two rings with the lids on the top. That's what old school War Games looks like right there. So that's what he wants back, which I totally agree with him. You want to bring back that old school feel to it, and that's what we want. So that's what I want at least, and I'm with him on that too. So, that one Mo, that was like a rarity. That was like the three team one wasn't that good. It just wasn't a good. That was one of the worst ones. Actually, as far as the three team one, I wasn't a fan of that. The three team one that they had with NXT was good. What we see there, where they had AOP and Roddy against Undisputed Era against Sanity. That was actually that was a really good match, actually. But you know, we went old school. We want the old school feel. So. All right, so last headline is John Morrison. I think we might got one more headline. We may. No, this is the last headline. John Morrison. So there's reports that he is coming back. You know, he's signed, but he put up an interesting tweet. So now here's the thing: you can't take this seriously, of course, because you know you can't disclose if you sign with WWE. So he put something up pretty interesting regarding that. I don't know if he might have took it away. Let me try to find it. Let's see. Okay. So he says, so PW Insider reported it, and he said, thanks for the heads up, PW Insider. Please let me know when I'm signed with AEW or ROH. This was September 27th. So, you know, you can't take that, like, seriously, because if he signed, you know, with it, if he signed with WWE, he would do something like he would just kind of say something like that, just kind of create some type of red herring. So if he did sign with WWE, you know, that would be a denial. You know what I mean? So, but we'll see. Here's my take on it. I've been talking about this a lot over the past few days. He does not need to come back to the main roster. I mean, Raw or SmackDown. He needs to go to NXT. He would be perfect for NXT. You know, one of the biggest reasons, and I've had Morrison on the show before. I've talked to him a bunch. I think with Morrison, he needs to go to NXT. He would be such a perfect person for NXT. I can see, like, to me, Morrison versus Adam Cole is absolute money. Morrison versus Roderick Strong for North American Championship. Money. And he would fit right into the NXT fold. 100% perfection. If he goes back to the main roster, he'll it's a lateral move. Like, he'll get right back to the same position that he was. Being a mid-card guy, you know, the best thing he got was the ECW Championship. He stays in the mid-card. He doesn't make the main event, doesn't become world champ, of course. So it's hard for me to really think about him actually being a huge impression on the main roster. He's already been Intercontinental champ. So it's like you're signing me to put me in the same exact position then as I was when I left 8 years ago. And that's what I can see, John. That's why I see John Morrison. I mean, just not the best career, you know, not the best on the mic. I love the Morrison slow entrance charisma type thing. But you know, it's one of those things that he'll be right in the same spot as he was before. And it's like, why come back if you're going to be in the exact same spot? I mean, you became world champ, and I think when I interviewed him around WrestleMania last year, 2018, I think it was 2018 last year when I interviewed Morrison. He was champ in AAA, Lucha Underground, and AAA and Lucha Underground. And I think it was Five Star Wrestling too that he was champ too. So he was like champ. He was like world champ in like three different companies. So, and Five Star Wrestling's debunked. He is defunct now. But yeah, or may have been. Yeah, I think it was Five Star Wrestling, AAA. Okay, yeah. So it was. It was WrestleMania. It was right before WrestleMania 2017, so that was about 2.5 years ago. So at that time, it was Five Star Wrestling, Lucha Underground, and AAA. So he was champ in three companies. I can't see that happening in the WWE. As good as he is, he's really good. Plus, he's like 39. You know, he's pushing 40 years old. So. The AIDS factor isn't as big as it used to be. You know, Lashley's over 40, AJ's over 40, Rude's over 40, Ziggler's almost 40, Sheamus is over 40. I think he is 40, about to turn 41 or something like that. So the over 40, there's a lot of people over 40. I think Cesaro's turning 40 next year or something like that. So there's a lot of late 30s, early 40s in the upper echelon or the mid card of WWE nowadays. Brock is over 40, of course. So, that's not a big factor, but coming in and being a mid carder throughout just about your entire time in WWE, I just don't see that changing. I can definitely see, what's the name of the team? It was Eminem, Mercury Morrison, and it was Johnny Nitro. It was Mercury, Nitro, and Melina. Eminem. I think the NXT would be best for him. That's basically the bottom line on that. Like just. Put him in NXT and see where that goes. I think he'll be much more successful in NXT, especially since it's kind of have that main roster type of feel now with it being on network TV. So John Morrison would be a good grab for them. All right. So let's do some Raw review. Give me your Raw grades. Let's do some trivia too. I didn't do any trivia. What was the Hell in a Cell match of King of the Ring 1998? What was the Hell in a Cell match of King of the Ring 1998? Hell in a Cell match. Be sure to hit that like button. Be sure to hit that like button, guys. Let's appreciate you all having some fun. Let's continue to have tons of fun. All right, what we got? Hell in a Cell match, 1998. What was that match? Yep, you got it. You got it, Mo. Mankind and the Undertaker. Next trivia question. What was the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 15? What was the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 15? All right, what was your Raw grades? Raw, you know, Mo tweeted me, man, and said that I'm the biggest critic. Yeah, I am a big critic of WWE television. He liked Raw. I did not. It was just okay to me. It was just okay. It was like a C minus. I gave it a C minus. Like let me explain to you why Raw was A minus. I give it a C minus. I'm explaining to you why Raw was C minus. Yes, C minus, absolutely. The Mysterio thing with Brock Lesnar, that was actually, Tammy says C bad. Yeah, Sports had a light roll into the Lashley segment. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. That brought it all the way down for me. A minus, yeah, C minus. For me. All right, so I like the Gabriel says B minus. All right, Gabriel's in the middle. Rey Mysterio thing, that part was good. That was good getting heat for Brock Lesnar. Because again, I totally agree with what, you know, I say this all the time, what Snitsky was talking about. I actually liked the beginning of Raw because it gave Lesnar a lot of heat, because you need to have that type of heat, man. No matter what people say, developing a good face and a good heel is the way to go. And it bothers me to no end when all these tweeners and people in the middle and all that crap, man, form and develop faces and heels. We need to get back to that. And I think this made Lesnar look like the most villainous person in professional wrestling today. That was really, really, really good. Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, that was okay. I mean, you're trying to get wins, record wins on Sasha. But, yeah, I mean, I'm checked out with Sasha. They haven't done a good job with developing her character at all. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler beating Heavy Machinery. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like Otis. I like Heavy Machinery. But, I mean, you know, they became a comedy team. Team Hogan and Team Flair. Yeah, Sasha was good when she returned, but now I don't know what she's doing. Yeah, exactly. Like they just really kind of stopped her momentum. Team Hogan and Team Flair, I was cool with this in a way. I mean, I like the Crown Jewel events. I'm an old school fan, so I like when they bring back the kind of like the old school feel to it, kind of like a big marquee feel to it. So this was okay. I mean, people chanting one more match for Hogan versus Flair. Come on now. Yeah, I agree, Tammy. Like 4 weeks straight of OC losing to Viking Raiders and Cedric losing to AJ again, just in the feud. I agree. No, that's not taking over for Survivor Series. It's like 3 weeks before. So yeah, I like this, just because it has two big names, Hogan and Flair. And it's funny that Flair's like threatening to sue WWE, but he's on Raw like within weeks. So really interesting. Unless they settled something out of court or Flair just needed a quick buck. I'm not quite sure about that, but I found that very interesting. but they were talking about one more match. That was just ridiculous. Who wants to really see one more match with the 65-year-old Hogan and a 70-year-old Flair? Come on now. Hogan said he can't wrestle a day in his life. He can't drop the leg anymore. Well, he's 66, actually. Just turned 66, Hogan did. 66-year-old Hogan and a 70-year-old Flair. Like, come on now. That's 136 years of between two people in a ring. And I don't want to see it. So I doubt that Flair could take a bump. Hogan talks about how much, you know, how many surgeries he had on his back and things like that. He can't take a bump anymore. So, you know. But I do see Flair try. I do see Hogan. I do see Hogan giving Flair a punch at Crown Jewel, and Flair just kind of doing this flip, you know, not flipping, but just kind of erratically taking a bump and landing as it, you know, landing in a way that's not, that he really didn't feel much. He just kind of, you know, becomes erratic. Timmy's asking, ask Chris what I think of the new Raw commentary. I think Vic did good. Actually, I like him. I've liked him with NXT UK. I think he fits just fine. I like Lawler, man. I guess it's the tradition. I guess it's the old school in me. I like Lawler being on there. He actually, it's funny, last time he was on there, I actually tweeted, I tweeted something. I mentioned it on the show, of what I tweeted. He actually retweeted my tweet. Which I thought was pretty cool. So, I like how, I liked the, how they put him back on there. So I'm cool with that. And they brought a, you know, he has that star, he has that star value on there. I'm cool with it. Dio on the other hand, he sounds so much like Byron Saxon, which is like, not good, because you know, wise, you know, you sounded just like Byron Saxon. Yes, he was Brendan Williams from NXT. Yeah, and so he didn't have a really successful wrestling career. Had a decent football career, I think, came from football, and then not very good NXT career. So they brought him over to be a commentator. So, I think he's got potential. I mean, you know, he's green. You know what I mean? He has been doing this for a while. It really surprised me that they put Dio on the number one show of WWE. That really, really surprised me when they did that. He needed some more reps at NXT. And, you know, he wasn't even on the NXT, you know, panel. You know, it was Mauro, Renee Young, and Nigel McGuinness, which I think that he could have. I think Percy was really good, man. I think Percy was probably one of the most improved color commentators of the past couple years before he left. Oh man, Gabriel said he saw him in an NXT show and everyone was chanting Lenny Kravitz. Oh yikes. Yeah. So that was really interesting. You read somewhere, Tammy says, read somewhere that Heyman likes Dio. Yeah, but at the same time, if he likes him, I mean, give him some reps, man. Give him some reps on NXT. I would take Beth Phoenix out, honestly. I'm just not connecting with Beth Phoenix, honestly. I think she did okay with the mixed match challenge. She did okay. But I'm just not really, I guess because I think Percy set the standard high as far as the personality part of the color team, of the color commentating. And I think Dio, you know, he's a wrestler, so he knows that, you know what I mean? Like, he knows how to kind of integrate himself into that. So I think he should have been in NXT. Give him some more reps. So, just him being on Raw is just a bad call. Not a good idea at all. I don't even know why they would do something like that. So, but yeah, what else is, so I like that. Viking Raiders versus the OC, like Tammy was saying, just same-o. I don't even know why they're doing that to OC. It just seems like they always, like, try to get to a point where they're like, they try to give OC some momentum, and then they just kind of job him out again. Then they try to give him a little something, and they just kind of job him out again. Like, you're with the U.S. champ. Why are you losing consecutive weeks against the Viking Raiders? That just makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, if they're building the Viking Raiders to go against AOP, I would love to see the Viking Raiders against AOP. I would love to see that. So, yeah, you know, I think that would be interesting to see. But not at the expense of the OC, because you want to keep those heel teams strong. You want to keep Anderson and Gallo strong. And I don't like what they're doing with that. AJ and Cedric, I wasn't sold on the feud in the beginning, and he just keeps losing AJ. So I hope this gives an opportunity for Braun to feud with AJ, and then, you know, Braun gets the title. He hasn't had a singles championship since he's been there. They've booked him terribly for the world title picture. So hopefully this is the time. I'm just not feeling Lacey Evans. I'm disconnected with her completely. And Ricochet and Cesaro, we've seen that ad nauseum. That was just a pointless match that led to nowhere. And, I'm just not with Lacey at all. I wasn't, like, when she competed at the Royal Rumble, that to me was just like, oh, what, the Women's Royal Rumble? That was a bad, bad deal. And then thrusting her so fast into the main event picture, I think that was a bad call too. Now they're trying to give her some reps, but it seems like they did it backwards, and it just kind of makes it worse, because you're not, like, you've already reached the pinnacle. Like, you've reached the top point. You've reached, like, the pinnacle of where you want to be, and you lost, and now you fell back down trying to get back up to where you were already were. You know, so it just, it's a weird thing, a very, very weird thing. I just don't see it with Lacey Evans. I just don't. And then the last thing, the Lashley thing was just terrible, man. Just absolutely terrible. First of all, what a terrible way to bring back Bobby Lashley. I think you should do Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at Mania. That would be ideal for me. Ideally, this is what you should have done. You should have brought back Bobby Lashley. You should have Brock Lesnar win the Universal Championship. I would have him beat Seth Rollins again. Keep it until WrestleMania. Have Lashley win the Royal Rumble. And you get Lashley versus Lesnar, man. That's money. That is money. Lashley versus Lesnar at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship. First of all, that is a main event match, 100%. They've never fought before. Lashley tweets over and over again that he wants to fight Brock Lesnar. But why would you not capitalize on that? So instead, you have... Like, people know that Rusev is married to Lana, and you actually had Lana come back with Lashley. Who's going to care about a Lashley versus Rusev feud? Like, where is this leading? It's leading to nothing. This is just terrible. And you couldn't pay me any amount of money in the world for my wife to be all up in someone's mouth like that. That was just absolutely terrible, man. And Rosa was just looking at it like it just, I understand a stage kiss, and I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even be cool with that, but I understand a stage kiss, but come on now. I mean, like, it seemed like Lashley went into business for himself on that one. Like, it was two rounds with that one. Like, at first, it was like, okay, and then he brought him back, and then the foot kicked up, and, you know, he got his feels on, and then he just went surfing in her mouth. Like, it was just, ugh, it was terrible. Very gross to me. I didn't want to see that. Like, I didn't get my jollies from watching Bobby Lashley and Lana kiss. I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. I didn't look at that and was like, oh my gosh, Bobby Lashley's kissing Rusev's wife. Like, the build, like, mic up your mind, WWE. Do you want to be, like, wrestling heavy, or do you actually want to build storylines? And you have this, me and Lana's having problems. You're not even giving it time. And you're not even giving it reps. And I'm supposed to be sold by just a simple, you know, tongue tag with Lana and Lashley? Who cares? And it was a gross segment, and it was just, it's just a pointless feud. I don't care about seeing Rusev versus Bobby Lashley. It just, I don't know if that was a way to bring Lashley on Team Flair, perhaps, but this is just terrible, man. Yeah, how can Rusev just stand there and not do anything? Right. Right, Gabriel. Tammy says, Mike and Maria was bad enough. Now this. Exactly. Just pointless. Like, I'm not going to look for, like, next week I'm not looking forward to the Lashley versus Rusev feud now. Like, that doesn't make me excited. And this made no sense to me at all. So that's the reason why I gave it a C+. All right, so let's get to the flavor of the week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really excited about this. Let's give me one more trivia question. Here we go. What year was the first Hell in a Cell match? What year was the first Hell in a Cell match? All right, let's get some. There's some flavor of the week going on. I can find my playlist. Here we go.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
Nice. All right. So here we go. Let's do this. Let's put some music on, because we're going to have to do the predictions too for Hell in a Cell. But I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. So this is percentages. I'm going to do some this week and some next week, Lord willing. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 statements. And you, as a PNP Nation, let me take that blur away. There we go. You, as a PNP Nation, are going to give me a percentage of what you think of the probability of it happening. All right. So you're going to give me a percentage. So this is going to be fun. Let me get some music. Let me get some background music with this here. Here we go. Let's use this one here. All right, cool. Bring this down a little bit. All right, so here we go. 1997 was the first. It wasn't Taker and Hart. It was Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. All right. No, it wasn't SummerSlam. It was Bad Blood. Yeah, Bad Blood. All right, here we go. First percentage. Percentage of AEW will beat Raw in ratings by WrestleMania 36. The percentage that AEW will beat Raw in ratings by WrestleMania 36. So the beginning of April, which is 6 months from now. Within 6 months, Raw with AEW beat Raw in ratings. Most has 5%. says Mo. Sports Title says 5%, not happening. 25%, Gabriel says. Okay. That's a big percentage. That's five times more than what we have so far. I should put 1% if I was his. You have to consult EC3 about that first. Next one. The percentage that Drew McIntyre will be WWE or Universal Champion by SummerSlam 2020. Drew McIntyre will be WWE or Universal Champion by SummerSlam 2020. Okay. 85% Mo says. Gabriel says 50%. Sports Title says 90%. Okay, that's a big percentage. Okay, so my answer for AEW beat Raw in ratings by WrestleMania 36, so that's 6 months from now. I'll give it about 12% chance. Tammy says 25% that Drew McIntyre will be champ by SummerSlam 2020. So within the next roughly 10 months, Tammy doesn't think it's going to happen. Tammy's not confident in WWE's booking of Drew McIntyre. I am not either. I think he should have been champ. I think he is one of the... For a long time, he was one of the most dominant heels. Like, it just seems like you could not do wrong with pushing Drew McIntyre. And then WWE somehow found a way to mess that up. I just don't understand. It just seems like some of these things you just have to be... Like, some of those things you just... Unless you intentionally do it. Like, it seems like you have to... try to do it for it to happen. Like, it just seems like it was at a point where Drew McIntyre, it was impossible for him to lose momentum, and he just lost momentum. He just the weirdest thing in the world. So I would give this, let's see, Lexi said 23%, should have happened by now, Tammy says. If he didn't get injured, he'd be in King of the Ring. I don't know about that. I think they still may have done Corbin. You know, that was my pick, was McIntyre. But I know that he got injured and everything. But Gabriel says, I'm a big Drew fan. I told him I was glad he came back to WWE when I saw him in NXT as champ. Nice. They keep putting him on top and drop him down. Yep. I think they prefer Corbin to Drew for some reason. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, right. All right, next one. We'll do this one. We'll end with this one for tonight. And then we'll pick it back up next week. We're going to do the predictions too. All right, last one for this week. Percentage that Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar will occur at WrestleMania 36. The percentage that Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley will occur at WrestleMania 36. What do y'all got? What percentages do y'all have? 50% says Mo. Gabriel says 5%. Point 5% says Tammy. 25% for Mo. Sports Title says 2%, sadly. Yeah, I think sadly is the operative word there. Lexi says, I think his multiple injuries have made BKM sour on him. Yeah, unfortunately, I can see that too. I can see that. Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. Negative 50%. Yeah, I would give this more. I would say like a 2. Yeah, I would say like a really like that's being very nice. That's being optimistic because I want it to happen so badly. So that's probably why I'm saying 2%. It's probably like -5. So, all right. So let's get into going to be Lesnar versus Roman at WrestleMania 36. Man, no, I don't see that happening yet. I don't see that happening yet. All right, so let's get into Hell in a Cell predictions real quick. All right. Right now, we just got 3 matches on deck. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. What do you got for that? Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Yeah, they prefer Lashley kissing Lana instead of being his next Lesnar. I agree with that, unfortunately. Mo says Roman and Daniel. I've got, I can see that happening, but there's just something about this feud that still makes me think that that Daniel Bryan's turning heel. There's something to it. They may have Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns win, and then after the match, Daniel Bryan turn. But I'm not sold yet that Daniel Bryan's going to be a babyface. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks in the Hell in a Cell match. What y'all got? Or as Tony Atlas would say, Sasha Banks. I think Lynch is going to keep this one. Yeah, I think Lynch is going to keep this one. Lex has got Luke and Rowan. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan for the tag match. Sports Hub's got Sasha. Gabriel's got Sasha. Becky heading to SmackDown. Yeah, that would probably be the only reason why. Yeah. I don't know, man. Till Ronda come back, Mo says. I can see that. Becky Lynch has not looked very strong in this feud at all. I don't see them putting they may put it on Sasha. But what does that say to all the other wrestlers? Like, I'm just gonna start complaining about my spot, and then I'll become champ. I think Becky keeping it until Ronda comes back makes sense. But I can definitely see them keeping it on. I can see Sasha winning for the sake of Becky going over to SmackDown. Was she going to feud with Bayley at that time? No. All right, so Rollins versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship, Hell in a Cell. See, people are saying there's a lot of different things. One of the things could possibly be The Undertaker somehow coming up from the ring, costing Bray. But here's the thing: if you have Bray Wyatt, if you start this Bray versus Taker feud, which I don't think is going to happen at WrestleMania, you don't need more Taker losses at WrestleMania. You already had 2. They're all in on this Bray thing. No. Taker versus Bray shouldn't be at Mania. Another Taker loss at Mania just makes no sense. You're just continuing to tarnish his legacy. Like, at this point, Taker losing at Mania doesn't really mean much. But if you have Bray beat Taker at Mania, WWE does a really bad job of actually putting people over by by beating someone else. So, yeah, the only thing, Gabriel, how you have a DQ, like if it was a regular match, I would have said Rollins by DQ, but it's actually being marketed as a Hell in a Cell match. So, they might just put it on Bray, which I don't agree with, man. You don't put it on Bray so quickly. You don't do that. You don't do that. It's just way too quick to put him. He need more reps. I wouldn't put it on this early, honestly. You can't just hotshot stuff like that. You finally got something good. You want to make us wait, build it up to it. So, and he's a heel, so eventually he has to put a babyface over. What babyface is going to be feuding with him? Braun? I'll be cool with Braun and Bray. So if you do have Bray win, that can... See, I'd be cool with Braun and Bray at Mania, actually. I'd be cool with Braun and Bray at Mania. So if you have Bray win, for the sake of making Braun... For the sake of actually making Braun Strowman relevant in the title hunt and finally get his title moment after having many failed moments. I think it was like 7 title in the past couple years. He had like 7 failed title opportunities. That's terrible. So if you have Bray win to eventually lead up to Bray versus Braun at Mania and having Braun be the person who beats Bray, I'll be cool with that. Because essentially, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, the tried and true method is the heel builds up the babyface. So, for that reason, if you have Bray keep the title for 6 months, have Braun be the person who beats him at Mania. If that happens, I'll be fine. I still think it's too early for Bray. Still give him some reps. I would have Bray win at Royal Rumble to maybe Braun win the Royal Rumble. You could do it that way. But now, just right after his Fiend character, giving him the title, yeah, not a good idea. So, all right, Hell in a Cell is this Sunday. AEW tomorrow. I watched a big chunk of the preview that TNT had on today. It was pretty interesting. So AEW, we have a full episode of NXT this week, not a split episode. And SmackDown is on Friday. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been fantastic. On behalf of Gene Snitsky, go follow him at Big Gene Snitsky. 392 episodes in the books. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless, and always remember, I do it for you. God bless, everybody. Have a good night. Bye-bye.